Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump keeps pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
The EU's new president looks to boost relations with the White House.
Bank of America looks to buck the trend seen in results from Wells Fargo.
And Jay Powell cements expectations for a rate cut in 2 weeks.
The House votes to condemn President Trump's comments, Democrats say, are racist. Plus, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees and Mets both with hard-fought wins, and we'll check in across the pond for the Open Championship, which starts Thursday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are edging higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany down less than 0.1%, CAC in Paris down 0.1%, the FTSE 100 down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 35 cents at $57.97 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.60 to $14.03.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1212 against the dollar and the yen 108.25. Nathan.
Karen, President Trump is keeping pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
We have a long way to go as far as tariffs with China is concerned if we want. We have another $325 billion that we can put a tariff on if we want. So we're talking to China about a deal, but I wish they didn't break the deal that we had.
And the comments add to pressure the president put on China this week on Twitter, saying tariffs are squeezing the country's economy.
The threat of more levies saw stocks in Asia fall today, though volumes were light. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us live from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Well, the export-heavy South Korean index was hardest hit as Samsung shares weighed on the KOSPI, sending it lower by almost 1%. Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 0.33% on the close in Tokyo, while Hong Kong retail stocks fell amid more signs of a faltering market in the wake of the recent city protests. Here in Singapore, stocks were little changed despite dismal exports data, a sign of the impact of the ongoing trade dispute. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. President Trump is also taking aim at the Fed, criticizing the central bank for ending its quantitative easing program.
They did quantitative tightening, $50 billion a month. That's a lot of money. Now they're doing $25 billion a month. Whereas in Europe, they're pumping money into their system and they're lowering rates.
Meanwhile, Fed Chairman Jay Powell is cementing expectations for a rate cut this month.
We will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion with a strong labor market and inflation near its symmetric 2% objective.
Speaking in Paris, Powell said the baseline scenario for U.S. growth remains solid, but also made sure to address risks tied to trade policy.
Uncertainties around this outlook have increased, however, particularly regarding trade developments and global growth.
And the Fed chairman also spoke broadly about the importance of international links between economies of the world.
When it comes to trade policy with the European Union, the White House now has a new leader to contend with. Germany's Ursula von der Leyen has officially been elected president of the European Commission, and she tells us she wants to bolster relations with the United States.
We do have issues, but we should never forget that we are allies and we are friends. We sit on the same side of the table, if I may put it that way. And therefore, we're going to negotiate hard about the different topics that have to be solved. But in the very end, we do know that it's better to be in an intensive, healthy way trading with each other.
President-elect von der Leyen tells us she hopes to dissuade President Trump from imposing tariffs on European goods. She formally takes charge of the EU's executive arm in November.
On Wall Street today, the parade of bank earnings continues after mixed results yesterday. Trading revenue at Goldman Sachs was a bright spot, but results from Wells Fargo disappointed. Today, we hear from Bank of America. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Because of the worsening interest rate environment, Bloomberg Intelligence says B of A's income growth and underlying trends will be pivotal Investors will zero in on net interest margin, core loan and deposit pricing, and competition with a focus on 2020 risks. Analysts think Bank of America will post a profit of 71 cents a share on revenue topping $23 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. Facebook came under heavy fire on Capitol Hill for its push to create a new digital currency, with most Senate Banking Committee members saying the company should not be trusted to create a new global currency. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is on that committee and spoke with Bloomberg following the hearing.
We've seen Facebook over the last decade plus do what I call catch and kill, where any new entrant into the marketplace, Facebook would either copy or they go out and directly acquire. And here you had this blockchain technology that might be able to come and disrupt. And again, it appears that Facebook is using the same strategic effort to say, let's bring some other players in, create this Libra network, and then use their market power to create the wallet where a lot of the transactions would take place.
Senator Mark Warner is one of several lawmakers questioning Facebook's credibility. The company's head of blockchain, David Marcus, heads to the Hill again today to testify in front of the House.
Facebook's push into digital currency also tops the agenda in France today, where G7 finance ministers and central bankers are meeting. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is there.
What they're concerned about is the fact that they don't actually know what Libra is or what is the ultimate goal. This is almost the first step towards creating something that could compete with the dollar, that could compete with the euro. Clearly, that's a non-starter.
Also on the agenda at today's meeting of G7 finance ministers, addressing risks in the global economy, building a fair international tax system, and reducing inequalities between developed and developing countries.
And another item we're watching out of Europe, a sharp drop on car sales last month. European car registrations posted a steep decline in June, falling nearly 8%. That's the biggest drop since December. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 30, and NASDAQ futures up about 18. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.09%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Four Republicans joined all House Democrats in a resolution condemning President Donald Trump for tweets against four liberal congresswomen of color. The controversy started when the president tweeted that the four lawmakers should go back to the countries they originally came from instead of telling Americans how our government is to be run. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi before the vote.
Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise condemned the resolution as a waste of time.
They want us to be spending time focusing on lowering their prescription drug prices, lowering health care prices, rather than this foolishness.
The vote was 240 to 187. Chief Justice John Roberts is praising his late former colleague John Paul Stevens for an unrelenting commitment to justice. The retired justice died yesterday in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a day after suffering a stroke. John Paul Stevens was 99. Notorious Mexican drug lord Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, will be sentenced today in New York City. Guzman was convicted in February on multiple conspiracy counts in an epic drug trafficking case. In their effort to get accused child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein freed on bail, defense lawyers are focusing on a discovery that prosecutors argue is proof he might flee. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Seeking to explain a 1980s-era Austrian passport found in his New York mansion with his photo but another name, Epstein's lawyers say in a court filing it was just in case of hijacking. Pointing out that Epstein is an affluent member of the Jewish faith, they say he acquired the passport in the 1980s when hijackings were prevalent for personal protection in connection with Middle East travel. It was to be presented to potential kidnappers or terrorists, quote, should violent episodes occur. They say there's no evidence it was ever used. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York will raise its smoking age from 18 to 21 under legislation signed into law by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The change, which takes effect in 120 days, will apply to the sales of traditional tobacco products as well as electronic cigarettes and vaporizers. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees showed some fight Tuesday after Monday's heartbreaker to the Rays. 8-3 the final. They nearly had a fight after CC Sabathia fanned Avi Asil Garcia. Benches cleared. No punches were thrown. Didi Gregorius played peacemaker before he brought the lumber in the eighth.
1-2. Drill! Deep right field! No doubt about it! Grand slam! Didi Gregorius into the bleachers in right field.
Yankees radio, Aaron Judge also homered in the eighth as the Yankees increased their lead back to 6 in the East. Four-game set rolls on from the Bronx. Domingo Herman goes for his 12th win tonight. Mets played as sound of a game as you could hope for on the bump against first-place Minnesota, winning 3-2 in the Twin Cities to open the brief two-game series. Michael Conforto went 4-for-4, drove in the go-ahead run in the fifth. The bullpen made it stand. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway.
To throw up five scoreless innings against that group over there, that says a lot, you know. And you knew they weren't going to make every inning easy on you, and they came back. You know, there's a lot of energy in the stadium.
Seven pitchers combined for the win. It's day baseball at 1:10. Jason Vargas battles Martin Perez. And golf's final major of the year, the 148th Open Championship, gets underway Thursday from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Phil Mickelson on the weekend.
I don't want to compare it to any because it's unique in its own right. It's special. Players love it. It's hard. Awesome mixture of very difficult holes. Weather's going to be a big factor, but it's very playable. It's set up extremely well.
Francesco Molinari is a defending champion. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
And Rob, New York sports fans may now bet closer to home after the state joined the growing list of those allowing sports wagers. Schenectady's Rivers Casino and Resort opened its betting lounge to the public yesterday, the first of what is likely to be several casinos to begin taking bets before the football season. New York's eager to catch up with New Jersey, where gamblers bet more than $3 billion on sports in the first full year since sports wagering became illegal in the Garden State. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund, JCF's donor-advised fund, is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe drifting. U.S. stock index futures edging higher. Asian shares are mostly down as fresh trade tensions offset a raft of solid corporate earnings and economic data. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany down less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.09%. Yield on the 2-year 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 28 cents at $57.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.60 to $14.03.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1213 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2399 and the yen 108.26. Today we are watching for earnings from Bank of America. We're also looking for reports on housing starts and building permits at an 8:30 Wall Street time. Then at 2, the Federal Reserve releases its beige book. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Four Republicans joined House Democrats in an official repudiation of President Trump's tweets against four liberal congresswomen of color. Democrats say the tweets telling the lawmakers to go back to their countries were racist. Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. Stevens was the third longest serving U.S. Supreme Court justice, serving from 1975 to 2010. Stevens was 99. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox lost. The Nationals smoked the Orioles 8-1. The A's and Giants were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak and our guest this morning, Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst, CMC Markets. Always good to have you on, Michael. Thanks for being with us as we watch European shares drift this morning while futures on Wall Street are pointing to a higher open. How do you read this market this morning?
I think, obviously, there's a little bit of caution in the wake of President Trump's comments about the reimposition or the imposition of new tariffs on the remaining $325 billion of Chinese goods. And I think that's just prompted a little bit of caution. I think it's unlikely that President Trump will go down that road quite yet, given that they've only just restarted trade talks. And I think markets and investors are taking this for what it is. It's basically signalling more than anything else. Bond yields don't appear to be really doing that much in response. So I think what you're seeing this morning is a little bit of a pause before the next newsworthy item. And obviously the attention is going to go back eventually to US earnings. But I think more importantly, what the European Central Bank is likely to do next week, because we do have a European Central Bank meeting coming up, which is obviously before the Fed meeting at the end of the month. So at the moment, we've got a fairly benign central bank environment. Everyone's expecting further easing. No one's expecting an imminent deterioration in US-China trade tensions. But nonetheless, I think investors are taking a little bit of money off the table, particularly in the US, which has continued to diverge pretty much away from everybody else.
As the president continues to put pressure on China, the Federal Reserve has been warning of downside risks related to trade tensions. Is there a dot to connect there?
Well, I mean, Mr. Powell did talk about cross currents at last week's testimony to policymakers, lawmakers on the Hill. And I think what could happen is if the ECB eases next week, which I think there is an expectation they might, that could give the Fed cover to do 25 basis points at the end of the month. I don't really think there's any justification whatsoever for doing more than that, despite the fact that the projections are suggesting that there's a 27% possibility of a 50 basis point rate cut. I don't think we're going to see that from the Federal Reserve. I think it's more about the timing than anything else.
What would the impact be of a 50 basis point cut if they go ahead with that scenario?
Well, I would argue that it would be uniformly negative, because my take on that would be, what is the Fed seeing that we're not? We looked at the payrolls data earlier this month, and that was unambiguously positive. Wages are at 3.1%. The inflation environment doesn't lend itself to a 50 basis point rate cut, and certainly I don't think there's any support for a 50 basis point rate cut on the FOMC. If you look at James Bullard's recent comments, if you look at Charles Evans' recent comments, I think the bar to that sort of cut is very, very high.
You mentioned earnings potentially being the next catalyst. We're going to get results from Netflix later this afternoon after the close on Wall Street. Do you see tech potentially fueling the rally?
I do, actually. I mean, I think there was an awful lot of pessimism around some of the tech earnings numbers that we've seen out recently, but some of the recent news stories haven't really affected that. And certainly if you look at Netflix's numbers in the first quarter, they were fairly positive. I think they'll struggle to match them in Q2, but nonetheless, they are bringing through price rises. Prices have just gone up here in the UK. My Netflix subscription has just gone up by £1 a month. Mm-hmm. I'm not overly concerned about that. I use it enough to justify paying it. And I think as long as they continue to add subscribers on international and domestically, I think they'll continue to do well.
What about all the scrutiny we're seeing surrounding so many of the other FANG stocks like Facebook, like Apple?
Yeah, I mean, I think governments now are looking at the big caps, the big tech stocks, to, I think, really impose much greater scrutiny, not only on their policies, but also in terms of their data collection and how they use it. And obviously, the European Commission has just opened up a new front against Amazon and how they treat their third-party retailers on their marketplace forum. But I really don't think that there is too much of a downside risk there. I think increased regulatory scrutiny, potentially fines, I think that's really going to be the cost of doing business in a much more higher regulatory environment going forward. And I think that's something that these big tech companies are probably fairly well positioned for.
Michael Hewson, CMC Markets Chief Market Analyst. Again, always good to have your insights on Bloomberg Daybreak. As we take a look at the market snapshot right now, futures pointed higher on Wall Street even as European shares drift lower. S&P futures ahead by 4.5 points. Dow futures up 34 points. NASDAQ futures up almost 19 points. Coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, more on the president's ratcheted rhetoric against China as we continue to check the latest in business, economics, and finance. And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media. Live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth tax advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks trading mixed around the world as continuing U.S.-China trade tensions offsets solid corporate earnings and economic data. President Trump is keeping pressure on China with the threat of more tariffs.
We have a long way to go as far as tariffs with China is concerned if we want. We have another $325 billion that we can put a tariff on if we want.
Meanwhile, China says further levies would complicate negotiations with the White House.
Now, the trade dispute is one of the reasons Jerome Powell continues his dovish tone. Speaking in France, the Fed chief said the central bank is carefully monitoring downside risks to growth.
We will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion with a strong labor market and inflation near its symmetric 2% objective.
We get the Fed's next policy decision 2 weeks from today.
In Europe, Ursula von der Leyen has been confirmed as the new president of the European Commission. She's the first woman to hold the job.
European car sales have resumed their downward spiral. They fell 7.9% in June. That's the worst monthly decline since December.
Earnings season continues with 16 companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. This morning we hear from Bank of America and this afternoon Netflix. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a preview.
Netflix has braced investors for a muted second quarter with 8% fewer subscriber gains versus last year. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say while seasonality will play a role, elevated churn due to a 13 to 18% domestic price hike and a lighter content slate are the key reasons for the tempered U.S. outlook. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Shares of Qualcomm are up 5% in early trading. The Trump administration is urging a federal appeals court to put on hold an order that would force Qualcomm to change out licenses its patents. The White House says the case threatens competition, innovation, and national security.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 37. NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 28 cents at $57.90 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street and Michael Barr with more what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The House of Representatives has voted to condemn comments by President Donald Trump aimed at four Democratic congresswomen. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The process did get slowed down a bit as Republicans objected to Speaker Nancy Pelosi's use of the word racist.
Disgraceful and disgusting, and the comments are racist.
But the talk has heated even further as the president stuck by his words, and then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell backed him up.
The president's not a racist. And I think the tone of all of this is not good for the country.
To which Congresswoman Jackie Speier says,
to have Mitch McConnell say, dance around the fact that his wife, who is not an American citizen by birth, but by choice, if someone said to her, go back to your country, he wouldn't say that that's racist.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died. Stevens, who was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court by a Republican president, became a leading liberal voice on presidential powers, the death penalty, and individual rights. Stevens was 99. Mexican drug lord Joaquin Guzman, known as El Chapo, faces sentencing today in New York City. He is expected to spend the rest of his life behind bars at a maximum security U.S. prison. The tri-state area is about to really bake under high temperatures. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, over the course of the next couple of days, weather across the tri-state area is just going to get hotter. The peak of the hot weather looks to be Friday and the upcoming weekend. There'll be many places around the city and in the suburbs between 95 and 100 degrees Saturday afternoon. You factor in the humidity, most places are going to feel like they're 105 or warmer. Now, the hot weather is going to continue through Sunday. It does look like it's going to break down by early next week. Trough of low pressure will start to send some cooler temperatures our way, and it'll become much more reasonable by next Tuesday and Wednesday. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. Bill Gates has never ranked lower than number 2 in the 7-year history of the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. That run has now ended when the Microsoft co-founder dropped to number 3 behind Francis Bernard Arnault. LVMH, Arnault's luxury goods maker, advanced to a record in Paris and pushed his net worth to $107.6 billion, and ahead of Gates by more than $200 million. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is the world's richest person. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Great day on the diamond for both local clubs as the Yankees overpowered Tampa Bay 8-3 at the stadium thanks to Aaron Judge and Didi Gregorius hitting a pair of homers in the eighth. Didi's was a grand slam. Pitching was solid again as David Hale improved to 3-0. New York manager Aaron Boone.
Every guy we hand the ball to, we know is really capable. You know, CeCe, another good start tonight. He's had a few now in a row, I think. We give the ball to Domingo tomorrow. We're excited about that. We know our five we're running out there right now give us a great chance to win every single day.
Four-game set continues tonight. Domingo Germán chasing his 12th win. The lead is 6 in the East. Mets stole a 3-2 win in Minnesota with Michael Conforto going 4-for-4.
Cued off the end of his bat, left side. It gets by Sano and into left field. A base hit. That one just squeaked by as Rosario scores. And Michael Conforto with a 2-out RBI single.
Mets radio that pushed them ahead for good in the fifth. They used 7 pitchers in all, including Edwin Diaz, who earned his 21st save. Brief two-game set winds up at 110. Martin Perez hosts Jason Vargas. And golf's final major gets underway on Thursday. It's the 148th Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Ireland. Tiger Woods on the difficulty he could face.
It's amazing that it hasn't been here in such a long period of time. Just a wonderful golf course. You can play so many different ways. Depends on the wind, what it does. But it's an unbelievable golf course.
Tiger won the Masters in April, his first major in 11 years. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the new workers of the world. Also in this week's issue, why stock certificates from Lehman Brothers, Enron, and Bear Stearns are still in high demand. Mike Regan wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
There is this market for stock certificates and bond certificates. It's a very niche market, but you know, before computers, obviously, the way stocks were traded was literally with paper certificates.
Read more about this market and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, New York City's rent stabilization law is under attack. A group of real estate trade groups and landlords are suing to overturn regulations covering more than 1 million apartments. They say the law places an unfair burden on property owners, especially those who own pre-1974 buildings with 6 or more units. Paramus-based Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is partnering with Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield The agreement opens Newbridge services to thousands of additional Horizon members, including about 230,000 Bergen County residents whose plans were not previously accepted by the hospital. Well, People's United Financial in Bridgeport, Connecticut has averaged more than two deals a year since the financial crisis. Monday, it did another one, agreeing to buy United Financial Bank Corp. in Hartford for $759 million. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. McDonald's will work with DoorDash to expand delivery in the city.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about more big bank earnings, including PNC Financial.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, United Airlines has raised its 2019 profit forecast as strong travel demand helps the carrier absorb rising cost pressures from the grounding of the 737 MAX.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio. In London, we're reporting on Britain's falling living standards as record high employment fails to help hard-hit households.
I'm Joan Doniger telling 1010 Winds listeners in New York about the CBS countdown till shutoff by DirecTV and U-verse if there's no new contract deal.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple plans to fund original podcasts that would be exclusive to its audio service.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Morning pointing to more gains on Wall Street, even as European shares edge lower. S&P futures up 5 points, NASDAQ futures up 19. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, the tough skiing that may be ahead for the new European Commission president. That and more as we check in with Bloomberg Opinion on Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and a story we have crossing the Bloomberg. Amazon.com's dual role as a retailer and host to other sellers will be probed by the European Union amid suspicions that the online retail giant uses the information it gains for its own advantage. The European Commission opening a formal investigation to assess whether the company misuses sensitive data from independent retailers on its sales platform. Stocks in Europe, meanwhile, drifting. U.S. stock index futures are edging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5.5 points. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.09%. Yield on the 2-year 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 32 cents at $57.94 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $8.80 to $14.02.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1218 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2408 and the yen at 108.24. And we're also watching for earnings this morning from companies including Bank of America. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House voted to condemn comments from President Donald Trump. Four Republicans joined all Democrats in the 240-187 vote to back a resolution that read, quote, strongly condemns President Donald Trump's racist comments that have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has died at age 99. Planned Parenthood abruptly removed its president, Liana Wen, after less than a year on the job. The group faces threats to its funding from President Trump and abortion opponents in several state houses. In sports, the Mets and the Yankees were both winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
5:49 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Managing Editor Ed Evans joins us from our London Bureau this morning. And we begin with the new presidency in the European Commission. Lionel Laurent writing that Ursula von der Leyen has a rather tough road ahead, Ed.
Indeed. Whatever happened, Merkel and Macron managed to carry off their trick. This is a win for the national governments that backed von der Leyen, a loss for the European Parliament that dreamed of putting forward one of its own, and a sign of some very tough tussles ahead for the 28-member bloc. If you're going to pull a rabbit out of a hat, it helps not to show the audience the secret compartment underneath. The nomination of von der Leyen, the former defence minister of Germany, for the top job at the European Union's executive arm involved very little magic. But she was a compromise pick intended to settle differences between Germany's Angela Merkel and France's Macron. But she was ideal in that role. But for the new European Parliament, which had fielded better known candidates who actually campaigned for the job, she was a mean trick. The memory of this vote may fade, but the institutional power struggle it ignites will live on. Deciding who gets to run the Commission has historically been the preserve of national governments, but the European Parliament has long wanted more influence. Back in 2014, its squabbling factions found enough common ground to field its own candidate, one of whom Jean-Claude Juncker actually won. With von der Leyen's appointment, the pendulum has already swung back to national governments. As an indicator of effective policy making, Tuesday's vote was certainly not reassuring. The elections back in May failed to produce a populist wave, but they did usher in a set of far more fragmented political factions. This new politics was on show in the awkward coalition building that went on ahead of the vote and in some of the policies that came with the vote. I mean, von der Leyen's pledged a $1.1 trillion Green Deal, a carbon tax, a minimum wage, unemployment benefit programs and the rest of it. None of this was enough to sway the Greens, and the Socialists only endorsed her at the 11th hour. It pays not to underestimate the European Parliament, even if this time it didn't carry out its threats to send member states back to the drawing board. The Parliament, of course, will get to vote on von der Leyen's commission too when it gets assembled, so she'll have to be serious about keeping those promises.
Opinion piece on markets this morning. Mark Gilbert is taking a look at the looming risk from elusive liquidity.
Yes, the Bank of England and the Financial Conduct Authority here have stepped up their rhetoric about the dangers posed by funds that offer customers daily redemption rights while investing in stuff that might actually prove very hard to sell when times get tough. Now, Bank of England Governor Mark Carney has been unequivocal in his condemnation of the status quo. These funds, he says, quote, are built on a lie, which is that you can have daily liquidity for assets that fundamentally aren't liquid, he told UK lawmakers last month. The problem for regulators is that market liquidity is an elusive, contradictory thing. It can be reliably ever-present when it isn't needed, only to vanish as soon as it's desperately needed. And the bigger problem for regulators is that worrying about vanishing liquidity is one thing. It's very easy to set out the problems, but doing something about it is quite another. If you look at what can be done, I mean, one of the issues facing a fund that gets into trouble is the first mover advantage that accrues to investors that get out at the earliest. But for the Bank of England, it's very difficult. A paper published by the Financial Conduct Authority, I should say, in May, looked at the various ways that you could get around this, introducing things like swing pricing or dual pricing, a practice designed to eliminate that first mover advantage. And again, it's very difficult. Funds with alternative pricing rules actually had difficulty in attracting new investor capital outside periods of crisis. One solution might be to change the rules so that funds don't have to let investors get their money back on a daily basis. But that's also tricky. If everyone else in the market is offering it, according to the Bank of England, it's difficult for one fund not to offer it. Then, of course, there's the international dimension that the central bank here and the Financial Conduct Authority are looking at this. But it will be difficult to secure international agreement for any shift in the rules. And if British regulators can't get that, there's a risk that the country's fund management industry would be put at a competitive disadvantage. Again, easy problem to identify, difficult to actually do something about.
Bloomberg Opinion, Managing Editor Edward Evans. Again, thanks as always for being with us from our London Bureau. And for Bloomberg Terminal subscribers, you can type OPIN Go to see these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion, or you can find them online at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, a special solemn edition of the Law Report, taking a look at the life and legacy of Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, who passed away yesterday at the age of 99. Stevens was seen as a moderate conservative when he was first selected to join the federal bench by Richard Nixon in 1970. 5 years later, he was nominated to the Supreme Court by Gerald Ford.
Judge Stevens is held in the highest esteem by his colleagues in the legal profession and the judiciary, and has had an outstanding career in the practice and the teaching of law, as well as on the federal bench. I am confident that he will bring both professional and personal qualities of the highest order to the Supreme Court.
Though appointed by a Republican president, Stevens went on to become a leading liberal voice on presidential powers, individual rights, and the death penalty, an issue that he recently addressed in an appearance on PBS NewsHour.
My own thinking, it took quite a while to really reach the conclusion that the death penalty does more harm than good, is a terribly expensive and really pointless process, because it accomplishes very little that can't be accomplished with more humane punishment.
Stevens also voted in the majority in the controversial Roe v. Wade decision on abortion, a matter he discussed as recently as this year.
In the long run, it seems to me that abortion is a necessary procedure that will be recognized and will be performed lawfully.
Stevens was fond of writing separate opinions to make fine legal distinctions. He eventually evolved into a coalition builder whose handiwork included the 2004 opinion that said U.S. courts had authority over suspected terrorists held at Guantanamo Bay. He retired in 2010 during the presidency of Barack Obama. At the age of 90, he was the second oldest justice in U.S. history.
Justice Stevens has courageously served his country from the moment he enlisted the day before Pearl Harbor, to his long and distinguished tenure on the Supreme Court. During that tenure, he has stood as an impartial guardian of the law. He's worn the judicial robe with honor and humility.
In retirement, Stevens remained engaged in public debate just last year, calling for the repeal of the Constitution's Second Amendment. He spoke about the push to curb gun rights with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
The amendment would merely prevent arguments being made that Congress doesn't have the power to do what I think is in the best public interest.
But to be clear, if Congress passed a national ban on individual gun ownership, that would be constitutional under your amendment.
I think that's right.
Following word of Justice Stevens' passing, the White House issued a statement saying his work will continue to shape the legal framework of our nation for years to come, and his passion for the law and for our country will not soon be forgotten. Chief Justice John Roberts says Stevens brought kindness, humility, wisdom, and independence to the Supreme Court. John Paul Stevens died at a hospital in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, yesterday due to complications following a stroke. He was 99 years old. Nathan.
Karen, thank you for that. European shares are beginning to edge higher now, along with U.S. stock futures. S&P futures are ahead 5 points now. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 21 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. CAC in Paris, little change to higher. 10-year, little change. The yield there, 2.10%. 2-year Treasury yield, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 32 cents, $57.94 a barrel. Stay with us for more Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio.